So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12. We've just finished preaching through Titus, and the reason we did that was we were looking at the church, thinking what it means to be a church. And I wanted to take this week to just talk about membership from 1 Corinthians 12, because Titus doesn't really talk about that, but I thought it would be a good way to kind of round out this series. So 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, "Well, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Well, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." And the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Let's pray as we come to God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that it encourages us and strengthens us and builds us up, that it allows the body to grow and to grow strong and mature. We thank you for the way that it challenges us, particularly challenges our conceptions, our selfishness. Father, I pray as we think about your body, your church, our part in it, would you please open our hearts and minds to hear what you would say to us this morning? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What does it mean to be a member of something? If you were to say to someone, "Oh, yeah, I'm a member of Dixon Baptist Church," what would you mean? These are important questions for us to wrestle with. We have a kind of formal membership category at our church, people who are formal members, the members who I'm hoping will turn up to the quarterly meeting next week. And there's a process for becoming a member. It involves giving a brief account of your spiritual background, your commitment to Christ, how you came to follow Jesus. It involves affirming the church's statement of beliefs and actually saying, "Yes, this is what I believe." It involves a commitment to our covenant of care, which deals with our conduct and how we treat one another, how we promise to actually relate to one another. And it involves an interview with someone to talk about life and faith and the church. That's a really important and valuable part of being part of a church. So if you're not a member and this is your home, this is your church home, please do talk to one of us about that. But how do we see membership? Tom Rainer wrote a lovely little book, another book recommendation for you. It's called "I Am a Church Member" by Tom Rainer. Tom has a H in it for reasons I don't understand. Oh, because it's Thomas, of course. I do understand. Lovely little book. And he begins by talking about, he's exploring this thing of membership, and he talks about membership in a country club. One day, a country club opened up in his town, and his town was sort of upper middle class, so they could afford the fees. And his family discovered that but for a small monthly fee for his membership dues, they could access a swimming pool and a dining room and a function center and a golf course, and it was great. And he basically said, "I began to learn a lesson. Membership means perks. Membership means privileges. Membership means others will serve me. Just pay the going rate, and you can have others taking care of you while you enjoy a life of leisure. And tragically, he says, tragically, this understanding of membership is what many church members hold. Now, if that is our view of membership, if we liken it to a country club or even like a political party where it's actually about political sway and power in the organization, if that's how we view our membership, well, it leads to an expectation that once you've paid your dues, whatever the dues are, it could be time attending or money given or the amount that you serve on the roster, once you've given your membership dues, then you are entitled to have the things that you want. And if you don't get the things that you want, if you, things are not the way that you want them to be, well, that's very straightforward. You either withhold your membership dues until you do, or you find another club that is more accommodating and the going rate is a little bit cheaper. It's a better deal. The Bible presents us with a very different view of membership. It presents us with a very different picture of membership. Membership is not about perks or privileges or power. It's about a radical unifying connection, serving others through Christ. Now we're going to work our way just bit by bit through this passage, so please do keep Romans 12 there open in front of you. Romans 12, starting at verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Let me read a couple of verses from another translation. Same text, different translation. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. The biblical sense of membership is not about a club with services or a party with power games. It's about being a part, a member of the body. Now, it's a little bit old-fashioned language to describe a body part as a member. We don't usually describe our arms or ears or eyes as members unless we're reading Shakespeare or something. But if I got a body and I cut it into pieces, which is gross, I wouldn't do that. But if I did, just say I did, if I got a body and I cut it into pieces, how would you describe that body? It is dismembered. The members have been separated. Something odd in verse 12. So the biblical membership is about being a part, a body part in the body. Have a look at verse 12. There's something odd here. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with, I would expect him to say you. He's talking to the Corinthian church. I would expect him to say, so it is with you, but he doesn't. He says, so it is with Christ. So membership, being a part of the body, is about Jesus. It's about the gospel. It's about Christ. Let me explain. We believe that everybody, every man, woman, and child comes into the world and has been separated from God because of their sin. There is a separation between people and God. And God came in a man, in Jesus, just as Hayden prayed for us before at Christmas. Jesus came, God came in the flesh to die for our sin, to reconnect us to God. When we repent of our sin, when we accept God's grace, when we put our faith in Jesus, when we commit our lives to following him in obedience, we are brought into relationship with him. And the Bible describes this as a union. It is being in union with Christ. The Bible describes us as being one with Christ. Paul will talk about believers being in Christ. You are people who are in Christ. Christians are people who have put their trust in Jesus, repented of their sin, put their faith in him, and they've been united with him. Now that is a fantastic promise of power and peace, that the Lord of all the universe would come to us and unite himself with us in a loving personal relationship. That's beautiful. That is one of the most glorious promises of the Christian faith. But we are not just united with Jesus. We are united with everyone else who belongs to Jesus. What is the church? The church is a body made up of all those who live their lives in trust and obedience to Jesus. A local church, like Dixon Baptist, is a local physical congregation, a local physical tangible expression of that reality. A group of people who come together because they are united with Jesus through faith and united to one another through Jesus, and they are committed to following him together. That is what the church is all about. Now, it may well be that there's some listening here who are not Christians. That's fantastic. That's so great. I'm really glad you're here, and I just want to make something really clear from the outset. As you come here, as you hear what we're talking about, you are invited into a relationship with Jesus. You are invited into a relationship with him. You are invited to that union with Jesus that forms Christians into a community. When someone becomes a Christian, when they are baptized, we put them under the water to signify them dying with Jesus. We bring them out of the water, signifying rising to new life with him. But have a look at verse 13. Have a look at it there. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. You were baptized to form one body. When we baptize someone, when someone gives their life to Jesus and they are baptized, we baptize them into Jesus, but not just into Jesus. You are baptized into the body of Christ, the church. Now, if you want to explore faith further, if you're just checking it out and you want to kind of explore further, that's great. We can take that conversation further. Just write on the welcome card in the bulletin and we can follow that up with you. Now, there are anomalies. There are anomalies where Christians are disconnected from other Christians. Say, for example, a missionary who is serving in a place where there is no other believers, someone who crosses an ocean, crosses a culture, crosses a language barrier to share the gospel in a place where it's never been heard, and there are no other believers. That person is in some way separated from other Christians. Another example could be a believer who is imprisoned in solitary confinement for the gospel. All around the world today, there are Christians who are locked up, imprisoned because of their faith in Jesus, and they are separated from other Christians. But those are anomalies. Those are anomalies. And for those Christians, the norm for us is for Christians to be in union with Christ together with other believers, other Christians, and for those Christians to be gathered together into a local church. That is the norm. So for the person who says, well, I like Jesus, I like faith, I just don't like the church, I want to say this. Sure, okay, I get it. Sometimes churches have messed up, churches often fail, sometimes terribly. I want to say I'm really sorry if you've been hurt by the church. And I can guarantee you that you will not find a perfect church. You will not find perfect Christians, perfect people. You will not find a perfect pastor. You certainly won't find it here. But you can't love Jesus and hate his body. You can't be devoted to Jesus and be apathetic about his body. You can't be united to the head of the church, the head of the body, and somehow avoid the body. The gospel is all about a perfect and holy God coming and entering into union with an imperfect and unholy people and uniting them together by his grace. That is what the gospel is about. Now, that includes you with all your mess, includes you with all your issues, and it includes everyone else who puts their trust in Jesus with all their mess and all their issues too. I want to urge you, ask you, to learn to love the church. To learn to love the church, warts and all. doesn't take long when we gather together for the rubber to hit the road. You can see again in verse 13, Paul talks about Jews and Gentiles, slave and free. He's picking up the two biggest barriers that defined people and divided people in the ancient world, ethnicity and social class. And those are two of the big barriers that still define people today and still divide people today. But Paul says that those differences are brought together in Jesus, not eradicated, not flattening and leveling out and removing all the differences, but bringing all those differences together into one body that submits to Jesus as its head. Paul goes on to use the picture of the body to talk about common issues as we relate to one another. Because again, if you stick a room full of people together, you're going to have issues as you relate to one another. The first is the person who separates themselves from fellowship. You can see it in verse 15. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. This is the picture of the body where one part is withdrawing, pulling back because it's not like the other parts. It's about someone deciding that they don't belong because they are not like the others. Now, that could come from a sense of inferiority, a sense of inadequacy, something like, well, I'm not as good as those people. I don't have the gifts that those other people have. Jesus couldn't possibly love me the way that he loves those people. I'm just not worth anything. I'll slip away. It could equally come from a sense of superiority. Well, these people are below me. They're not as advanced as I am. They're not as involved as I am. They just don't recognize my brilliance. I'm going to find someone more suited to my greatness. And, you know, maybe I've even just outgrown the need for others altogether. You know, I'm kind of past that whole needing people thing. Either way, it's a tragedy for the body. Paul says, without each part playing their bit, the body is weakened. In fact, if we were all the same, there would be no body. We need the action of the hands. We need the movement of the feet. We need the hearing of the ears and the sight of the eyes. And Paul brings us back to God. He says that God is the genius who designed the intricate interconnecting systems of the body, your lungs and your nervous system and your stuff. He made it all work in a certain way with certain parts playing certain roles. Your body is an incredible, incredible thing designed by a genius with these interconnecting systems. God is the one in the church who draws men and women and children into the church through Jesus. He is the one who places them when and where he wants them to be, and he expects us to use our gifts to further his kingdom together. Not all the same. Not all the same, not all doing the same roles and the same tasks, but each one serving in the way that God has made us, in the place that God has put us for the common good and for the advance of the gospel. That is what God has called us to do. Now, would you say that you have a sense of inferiority when it comes to being a part of God's people? A sense of inferiority that causes you to pull back and separate from God's people? Well, guess what? No matter how inferior you feel, Jesus loved you so much that he died for you to bring you in, to give you his grace, to make you a part of his body, and to cover over every weakness and failing of yours so that you could be forgiven and restored and brought in. That's how much Jesus loves you. Would you say you have a sense of superiority that causes you to separate from God's people, to pull back? Well, guess not. No matter how superior you feel, Jesus needed to die for you. You were not enough on your own. You are not so great on your own. And you actually need Jesus to bring you in and die for you and pour his grace out on you if you are going to be a part of his body. It is God who places you in the body. And he has placed you in the body so that you can play your part. As you play your part, the body grows and is strengthened. Never, never underestimate the value of just turning up with a good attitude. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm not on the roster today. I don't have a job to do. No one's going to miss me. That is not true. It is not true. Because it is not the task that we need most of all. I'm very thankful for all the ways people serve. But it is not the task we need most of all. It's you. It is you. You are the gift in the body of Christ, not whatever job you happen to be doing that day. We miss you when you're not here. And when you are here with an attitude of love and service, everyone is encouraged, everyone is blessed, everyone is pointed to Jesus and strengthened and lifted up together. When you are not here, we feel it. We are discouraged. We are weakened. It's like we have a phantom limb that's not there, but somehow we can still kind of feel it. I want to say a word to the live stream, the people who are tuning in at home. You know, there are people that are tuning in and watching, and it's not just because it's more convenient to stay in your pajamas. It's because they are sick and they can't come, or because they are more vulnerable to COVID and they can't take the risk of gathering together like this, or because they are caring for others for whom it is a risk and it is not appropriate for them because they are needing to care for family members and so they can't be here and they need to join in from home. I want to say that this year has been a really hard year, and it's meant that some of us cannot gather together physically. The wise and the loving thing to do for some of us is to be physically separated, and I'm really glad that you're actually able to connect this way. I hope it's an encouragement for you. I'm really glad that you can actually tune in and still be connected in this way. And this year, I hope that it has taught you the value of being together. I hope that for us who are here, we are feeling the absence of those at home. And when this season has passed, which surely one day it will, when this season has passed, I hope that you've just learnt to value being together and that you're eager to get back together and connect back in person when we are able. For all of us, I wanted to say to make the efforts that you can to connect with others. I know there was one of the families yesterday that invited a bunch of folk around yesterday to connect, and it was just really lovely, and I just want to thank those guys just for doing a wonderful thing of bringing us together and helping us to connect. And I want to encourage all of you to make those opportunities to connect with the people in whatever capacity you have and whatever ways you are able. The second thing Paul picks up as we relate to one another is this tendency to actually exclude others, to push others out. Have a look at verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we're treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts, they need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that each part should have equal concern for each other. Now, this isn't about someone excluding themselves, withdrawing and separating themselves. This is about someone excluding others. It's about one part saying to the other, I don't need you. It's an attitude that looks down on others and refuses to see their value, to see their faith, and refuses to see the way that God has brought them in. It could be, you know, that church member that you find bothersome and you just wish they'd shut up. Or it could be that church member that you don't think contributes much, doesn't really have much to offer, and is kind of slowing us down. Or it could be the church member that you think is less valuable because they are not like you. If only they were just a little bit more like me. Now, Paul has a cure for this in the passage, and it's not what I would expect. I would expect him to say, hey, arrogant person, be kinder to your brother and sister. And kind of like a parent, you two, stop squabbling, get along. Now, I'm sure he would do that as well. In fact, I'm pretty sure in other places in his letters he does do that. But what he's saying is different. He's saying in this passage, that person that you think is worthless, that person that you think is insignificant, that person that you find embarrassing and kind of cringe whenever you're with them, they are actually indispensable. They are actually indispensable. And you can see where he grounds it. God has put the body together. It is God who puts the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it so that there should be no division in the body. This is God's church. This is God's people. And we need to learn to see one another as God sees us. Because he looks at each one with love, with grace, with patience. He recognizes our failures and our flaws, but he gives us grace. And the greater the failure, the more grace he is willing to extend. You know, I don't often think about my toes. You probably haven't thought about your toes today, I bet, except for now. Now you're thinking about them. But I never think about my toes. I can't remember the last time I even looked at them. They just happily kind of live inside my socks. Don't think about them. Never give it a thought. But on occasion, I have developed an ingrown toenail. And then all of a sudden, I do start thinking about my toes, thinking about them all the time. It starts out as kind of minor discomfort, and then to get to the point where like I'm thinking about my toes all the time because walking is painful and like moving is painful and putting on shoes is painful, and simple little things that I never think about, all of a sudden I'm thinking about all the time because I've got this toe that's hurting me. And it turns out that my head can't say to my feet, I don't need you. It turns out, as soon as there's a problem with my toes, actually, I really begin to value my toes and start thinking about, you know, actually, maybe I should think about my toes more often. I have concern for them when something goes wrong. To put it another way, there are no appendixes in the body of Christ. There are no appendixes in the body of Christ. God brings people together. People that he loved. People that he saved at great cost. And he places them where he wants them to be so that the body can grow, so the body can mature, so that his kingdom can advance here in Canberra, here around the world. As we think on this picture of the body, Paul again brings it back to our relationships. This is in large part what it's all about. Verse 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ. You together are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Obviously, this excludes any kind of rivalry, any kind of competition, any kind of power games, any kind of jealousy or arrogance. If we are connected, if we are united to one another through Jesus, then we share in our joys and our sorrows. If one of us is cut, then we all bleed. If one of us is flourishing, then we all rejoice. This holds true as we think about the kingdom of God in Canberra. This holds true as we relate to other churches. When another church sees good gospel fruit, when there is growth and love and blessing, we should rejoice for them. We should rejoice. And I want to confess, as the pastor of Dixon Baptist, it's very easy for me to be jealous of the success of others in ministry. It's sinful and it's terrible, but it's true. It's so easy to be jealous. But we are one. We are connected. And when someone is blessed and there is good gospel fruit, we should rejoice. And likewise, so often, when someone fails or falls or has a tragedy or a split or a bust up or someone gets hurt, It's really easy to kind of look over the fence and kind of go, huh. No, we should be grieved because we actually love God's people. We have a heart not just for us and our needs, our little club, but for the kingdom of God, his body. But within our church, it should be the same, shouldn't it? We should share in our joys. We should share in our sorrows in the gospel. We are connected because we have received grace through Jesus, and ultimately this whole thing is about him. He is the head of the body. This little congregation of people on the north side of Canberra, it's not about our glory, it's not about our preferences, it's not about our comfort. It is about the glory and the honor and the kingdom and the power of Jesus. And it is a privilege to be part of the body of Christ. I love what Hayden prayed earlier. It is a privilege to be part of the body of Christ. Sometimes there are pain. There is pain. Sometimes there are disappointments. Sometimes there is sorrow. That comes with being part of the body. But you will find, and I hope and I pray that this is what you will find, people who are giving themselves sacrificially to the body of Christ. Because they are just overjoyed at the wonder of being united with Christ and united with his people. I hope that you are learning to love the church. Learning to love it, not just to kind of serve it, not just to kind of turn up and be committed to it, but actually to love it. To love it. I want to ask you to do a simple thing. I want to ask you to pray every day for your church. It doesn't have to be hours and hours, although actually in Rainer's little book there on membership, he shares a story of a woman who set aside an hour every day to pray for her pastor, which I think is just, that. I mean, that's an amazing blessing. That has got to be an amazing blessing. But I simply want to ask you to spend a couple of minutes each day praying for your church. To pray for their leaders and for their families. To pray for the preaching of God's word, that it would have powerful effect and bear good fruit. To pray for God's blessing as we pursue that mission that hangs on the wall. To be and make disciples of Jesus in a loving church, in our local community and beyond. Because we need the power of God in our church. We need the power of God. We cannot possibly do without it. And so I want to ask you just simply, please pray every day for your church. Paul says this to the Corinthians in verse 27. You, all of you, that's plural you, y'all are the body of Christ. You all are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a member of it. So be a member of it. Be a member of it. Let's pray. Jesus, I want to thank you for your body. I want to thank you that you don't just save us and sit us off to the side to have a nice little experience with you, but that you save us and bring us into your body. And we do thank you and we do praise you for the privilege of it. Thank you that we are a part of it. And Lord, I pray that you'd astound us with that grace that has brought us in. Lord, that we would just marvel at your grace to us, bringing us in. Undeserved, not because we had it all together and we were such an asset, no. When we were far from you, enemies from you, not knowing you or having any love for you, before you gave us your spirit or your power, you poured your grace out on us. And I pray that you would gather us together in grace. We pray that the body here would grow, mature, be strengthened, that men and women, children would come to faith in you, put their trust in you, turn away from their sin and learn a life of following you. And we pray, Lord God, that you would encourage us. For some of us, it can be a weary thing coming each week and serving. Would you refresh us with your grace? Do you lift us up and encourage us and strengthen us? I pray that you would fill us with your joy, with your power. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Saviour. Amen.